brother.
God.
What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I'm going to go right to the phone lines. We have a very special guest who's hanging out. His name is Mr. Harry Dunn. He is an author of Standing My Ground. He is a former he's a political candidate, and he's a former Capitol police officer. And you would recognize him as the couple black police officers, Capitol police officers, who were very visible, very vocal, who's certainly been seen time and time again on many of the political shows espousing his belief on what took place on January 6th. And without any further ado, I'm really excited to bring, before you, Harry Dunn. Good morning to you, sir. How are you doing?
Ms. Ingram, good morning. Glad to be with you, sir.
Let me ask you, because you were there on January 6th. You were very visible. You're not a small guy, so people would recognize who you are. Tell us a little bit about your journey from, what transpired on January 6th and where you are now.
Well, the easiest way for me to put it is, like, on January 6th, we did our jobs as police officers. The men and women of the Capitol Police and the Metropolitan Police, they stepped up, they answered the call, and they stopped. As ugly as it was, they stopped a mob that was summoned by Donald Trump, the former president, hell-bent with the intentions of stopping the certification of the election. That was their goal. That was their mission. And they failed that day. They failed in that goal, but not without, extreme consequences. There were, officers that were injured to the point where they can no longer return to the job. Officers are still struggling with the traumatic effects, the PTSD of that day. It was horrible what, men and women had to go through that day. But on January 7th, the day after, and the day after that, all the way up until now, the work that I've done for just speaking out, running for office, out here being a surrogate for Joe Biden, it's all because I love my country, and it's because I'm doing this work as an American citizen. The work as a police officer ended that day on January 6th. Although I continue to work on the force for almost 3 years after that attack, but it's just the work that we have to do as American citizens who actually believe in our country, believe in our institutions, although we recognize that the institutions sometimes are only as strong as the individuals that hold those seats. So that's why, I'm doing my duty right now, what I believe is right, to keep Joe Biden in the White House and to keep the former president as far away from the Oval Office as possible, because I do believe he is the biggest threat to our democracy in a generation.
So I'm going to get to, especially you being a surrogate for the Biden administration, but I think I would be remiss if having this opportunity, I didn't ask you, because you were there. There's if we believed or believe what we are hearing from, Republicans who claim that this was a walk in the park and only a handful of people who were restless, and this was not, an organized mob, but just, walk in the park for a bunch of people, and only a few people acted in the manner that they did. Was it a walk in the park, or was it, in fact, a riot? Where's truth and where's fiction?
Sure. So I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the things where you said you're hearing from Republicans, but we all watched it. like we all, I'm speaking at this nation, we watched what happened on that day. Everybody remembers where they were. They remember watching in horror as you saw officers like Danny Hodges and Michael Fanone and Aquilino Gunnell getting pummeled and, you know, absolutely destroyed by the mob. It was very violent. Now, yeah, sure, there were people who there that were just peacefully protesting. That sure, two things can be true at the same time, but it definitely wasn't walk. It wasn't a walk in the park. The people that were there came with bad intentions, and they came because the president, the former president, told them to come. You know, he used the term "fight like hell," and you know, Rudy Giuliani and Donald Trump were so inflammatory at their speeches leading up to the attack at the Capitol. And so many people have been already prosecuted and pled guilty for their crimes, their violent crimes against police officers that day. So anytime somebody says that, you know, like we know what we saw. Don't try to, pass something off that didn't happen when we actually saw it with our own eyes. And we lived it as officers. And that's one of the reasons why we're out here. So the revisionist history won't happen. The whitewashing, the downplaying, the flat-out lying about what happened. That's why we're out here to combat it with truth, to tell us, hey, no, we were there. This is what really happened.
You know, sir, as a military veteran that you are, law enforcement officer, did it surprise you the negative kinds of responses that you get from people? Because what you did was fight for the very thing that you were in the military for, in law enforcement, and for, you know, just righteousness in laws and protecting the Constitution and those kinds of things. Does it bother you to this day that many people who saw you as a military veteran and said, you know, we love you for being that, as being in a law enforcement officer, we love you for being that. But now the fact that, you know, you're not either one of those things, but a person who's going around and now telling the truth about what you witnessed and also saying that the man who was behind that shouldn't be reelected. How does it feel to be on the other side of that equation?
Yeah, it's an interesting point that you brought up. Well, first of all, I wasn't a veteran. A couple of the other officers were. So I was a vet, but I was a police officer for over 15 years before I left in December. It's not surprising, but it does suck, to be blunt. It sucks the way that people treat you. And it's kind of like you're only good to them when you're doing what they want you to do. It's kind of like the whole thing where when LeBron James came out with his statement against any civil injustice or anything, and he's met with shut up and dribble.
Right.
It's kind of like you're only valuable to them when they're doing what they want you to do. So, you know, as a police officer, if I'm protecting Republicans and Democrats alike, and then I come out and I speak, hey, about, and it's not even an opinion. Like my opinion, I'm talking about what happened that day. That's not opinion. That's about what happened that day. And it gets a little frustrating to that point when you talk about it, but it also, what it does, it exposes that hypocrisy that some of the people on the right tend to have. And that's why I'm not going quietly, because, like the young kids say, keep applying pressure.
You know, sir, President Joe Biden, there is a clear distinction between President Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And, you know, witnessing Donald Trump during that time, you know, what I saw, the visibility of him and the fact that he refused to even address this thing as it was fermenting and in process. Do you think it makes sense that this same man should be even allowed to even run for president again based on what transpired and what he basically fostered? I don't know if we lost him.
No, sorry, I'm on mute. My apologies.
No problem.
No, but that's just so, it's just so, that what it does is that just shows how backwards sometimes rules and laws can be. Like for example, you know, as a convicted felon, he's no longer able to possess firearms, but that's all right. He has the code to the nuclear weapons. You know, whereas another individual may be disqualified from a job because they're a felon. Like, he's now running on the fact that he is convicted. You know, like, this just shows how backwards we can be at times. But that's why I think it's so important now. Like, this, you know, every election cycle we get the phrase, hey, this is the biggest election of our time, because it's the next one. But I honestly believe that this is the biggest one, because this will have generational ramifications going forward if we do not re-elect Joe Biden. And that's not even, you know, I'll steal one of the president's famous words here, hyperbole. That's not even, Donald Trump has said it himself that he wants to be a dictator. I mean, he cozies himself up with, he admires Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un over in North Korea. Viktor Orban, he cozies up to those individuals. He admires them, and he wants to be like those dictators across the world. So those are his own words. It's not like that we're writing some script to talk bad about him. He's doing it to himself, and people are embracing it. So that's why we have to continue to spread the word that we cannot let him anywhere near the White House ever again.
So I'm going to get a chance to meet you. You're going to be in my hometown, the city of Milwaukee, in a few days.
Looking forward to it.
And what do you want to say to the people as we get ready to wrap this up?
You know, I can understand people are skeptical or may want to stay home during this election, but we have to realize that this is a once in a generation election, and hopefully just a once in a generational threat that we have the opportunity to defeat once and for all at the ballot box in November. So I would encourage everybody to keep that at the forefront, keep that in mind. And I appreciate you taking the time to have me on your show today.
Yes. Standing Your My Ground is the book, title of the book, by Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. Thank you very much, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Sounds good.
All right. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And again, that's former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, who is traveling around the nation on behalf of the Biden campaign. He's going to be stopping in Milwaukee on, I believe it's Monday. So I get a chance to sit down with him and have some real dialogue. You know, I have to say this, you know, this has been bothering me for a long time, and 844-967-2789, you know, how do you how do people go on the airwaves and talk about that they don't believe President Biden is going to live long enough to become, even if he gets reelected, they don't think he'll live long enough to make it through the election. I for the life of me, again, I've been around a while. I don't ever recall that kind of conversation being had about any president of the United States, regardless of whether they're Democrat or Republican. Republican, those kinds of discussions were never took place. But they are commonplace now. Every day, there are political commentators, there are elected officials who are saying, we don't believe Joe Biden is going to live long enough to become, even if he gets reelected, to live out not only the full 4-year term, but even the first year of a new term. I mean, what is that? 844-967-2789. I mean, American people saying this about the commander-in-chief, whether you like him or not, whether he's your guy or not, the insensitivity to say this about a man who is alive as we speak, do you think he can't hear? Do you think he can't read? And yet this kind of attack on Joe Biden, who's pushing back on that? We all should be pushing back on the cruelty of saying this about a man and his family who hears this every day. For heaven's sakes, look at Donald Trump. Do you think a man as overweight as Donald Trump is, a man who eats, you know, McDonald's, you know, I mean, is not healthy, and yet nobody on the other side of the ledger is saying, hey, we don't think Donald Trump is going to live. I mean, how insensitive is that? 844-967-2789. You know I'm right. And those of you who support Donald Trump, why don't you correct those who are saying these things? After all, the last time I checked, Joe Biden is still president of the United States. He's not an enemy of the state. Let's go to the phone lines and Susan. Good morning to you, Susan. I mean, why are we accepting this? And why are we not outraged?
Well, I am outraged. I'm thankful that I got to hear a true hero speak on the radio this morning. And I think that we should start speaking out and being part of the Biden train and do everything possible to get him reelected. Trump and his followers are not patriots. They are traitors to this country. They will always be traitors to this country in my eyes. So what I want people to do is stand up. And I will continue to voice my opinion because Trump is a crime. Trump and his family are all criminals. And these people who support them are criminals because they're trying to overthrow our government, our America, the thing that we have gone and laid down our lives, our loyalty, our honor, our integrity are all wrapped up in this country. And I think that we need to stand up to Trump and his organization and continue to voice our opinion.
Susan, the hatefulness of people saying, while a man is alive, well, we don't think he's going to live. Who are you? Who died and gave these people the power to determine who lives or dies? You know, Well, Joe Biden's not going to live long enough. Well, you know, Jimmy Carter is still alive, for heaven's sakes. How long has Jimmy Carter, been talked about people saying, well, you know, Jimmy Carter's not going to be around. How long has that been? He's still here. But yet these people continue to point to say these horrific things, and we just take it in constantly. We take it in. Well, Joe Biden's not going to live. Well, I don't think Joe Biden's going to. And they're having these conversations, and nobody's calling them out on it. Well, guess what? I am. Well, who am I? I'm nobody. You know, I'm just, you know, a guy who has an opportunity to get before a microphone. But whether I was before a microphone or not, I still say it is totally unacceptable to say that a person is life expectancy is short while he's still here and he can hear it. Well, look at him. He's a dead man walking. Well, you know, we could say that about Mitch McConnell. You ever take a look at Mitch McConnell? You know, and yet I don't hear Democrats saying, well, you know, Mitch McConnell's not going to live, you know, to make it through tomorrow. Cruelty. Absolute cruelty. And it should not be tolerated. Susan, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Your thoughts next on The Earl Ingram Show. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Before we went to break, I was saying that I am tired of it, and you should be as well. And when you hear people saying that the President of the United States is going to die, we all are going to die, you know. The rich man, the poor man, the beggar man, the thief, the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief, all are going to die. You know, but to say that the President of the United States, who's in office, is going to die and keep repeating that should not be tolerated. In the past, it wouldn't have been tolerated. What has changed in our nation? You know, there's no way anybody would have been saying when Ronald Reagan was going through his issues, with dementia, nobody on the Democratic side said, well, Ronald Reagan's going to die in office or Ronald Reagan's going to die. But people are comfortable saying that Joe Biden is going to die. And even predicting, well, he's not going to make it through this. He's not going to make it through that. And so, you know, if we don't come to a point in this country where some things, you know, should not be tolerated, there was a time when certain things wouldn't be tolerated, but this is commonplace now. And so we allowed this without pushing back on it. Well, you know, those of you who know me by now know that I will push back on these types of things. You won't hear it on the airwaves much anywhere else, but you're going to hear it on the Earl Ingram Show. And again, if what I'm saying is inaccurate, 844-967-2789, prove me wrong. Let's go to a text message from Tony. Social media has given the magic wand for people to be mean and vindictive with their statements for people they don't like or agree with. Or like Donald Trump didn't help them either. Let's go to the phone lines and Brendan from New Jersey. Hey, Brendan, how you doing, sir? Brendan, am I right?
Oh, I think you're 100% right. I mean, excuse me, but didn't Ronald Reagan get shot and the country rally around
yes.
him when he was shot? And whether you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, that's when this country would come together. Somebody shot our president. And not only that, but I believe there was a VP sworn into office on one of the Air Force One jets somebody passed or somebody
right.
was unable to fulfill their job. And we have a good VP. And I've said this before on the show. It's not just the president. It's the people he surrounds himself with. This president has surrounded himself with an incredible cabinet of people, has a strong VP in place. And whether you like him or not,
he's the president of the United
right
States. Yes.
And the thing that really galls me the most is as these folks on the right and our MAGA friends on the other side of the aisle complain about the state of the country, I see them all having enough money to buy all this Donald Trump swag, and they're out at these rallies, and they're living their lives. I mean, I don't see people passing out bread at these meetings or anything. And the reality is, our president's done some good things, and meanwhile, the Republican Congress and Senate refuse to do anything, get anything done for the people, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. So Republicans, stop whining. Okay, there's one side doing the work of the people, at least trying to. So that would be my comment for the day.
Well, you know, Brendan, I never once said I didn't vote for Ronald Reagan. I didn't vote for George Bush Sr. I didn't vote for George Bush Jr. You know, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. You know, I didn't vote for Richard Nixon. But never once did I say they weren't the presidents of the United States. And never once did I wish ill will on any of them, right? Once they become the president of the United States, that's the way it's always been. That's the way it should be, all for one and one for all. But this is not the case today, and it should be made clear that that should not be accepted. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Charles from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Charles. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. So whenever I hear them talk about his age, for me, I think it's a scare tactic, dog whistle type thing, because we can't allow him to become president again, because if he does pass away in his second term, then we're going to have to deal with the first black female president.
Yeah, that's
and we can't have that for the United States.
I will tell you, Charles, that is part of it as well. You know, it certainly didn't send a lot of positive signals after Obama was there for 8 years. And so to have that, you know, in front of some who saw Obama as, you know, something less than the presidential. Those people who felt that way about Obama feel that way about Kamala Harris. And part of their hatred towards President Biden is for the same reasons. you know, if he doesn't, you know, make it, she's going to be the president. But all that stuff is ridiculous, sir. You know, I mean, and people should be called out on that. As I stated, the average citizen, they have a right to feel whichever way they want to. But when you're on these airwaves, and I think, you know, when you're on a, when you're on television and when you're elected officials, that's a higher standard that you should have to live up to, and we should force those people to live to those standards. Hey, Charles, thank you very much for the call. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Hey, Karina, how you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Well, you know what? The level of hypocrisy, because all of those people claiming to be a Christian, and somebody did. And that's where I can't get over it. I mean, this is not a good Samaritan words.
No.
You know?
No,
and
no.
This is very sad because they're pushing the religion on everybody, starting with an abortion, going through a female should stay home. But yet, look what they do. Such a dark souls. How you can even move your tongue like this to wish on anybody, and especially for someone who's working for you.
Yes. I mean, you know, Karina, whether you like it or not, whether you like him or not, he's the president of the United States, you know? And so these people's hearts have become hardened. And so because their hearts are hardened, they can't even, I think, in many instances, recognize that they're pulling for a man to die, right? You know, like I stated, you know, all of us are going to die. And, you know, the rich, the poor, all everybody going to die. So, but to wish that the president of the United States, you know, dies so their man can get in office, it's ridiculous. And unacceptable.
Also, it's almost like a herd feeling. It's like a herd, what is the word for animals who go together in one direction? It because
yeah, herd.
An example of somebody with a dirty mouth who's allowing himself to say anything about anyone, and it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It's his opinion have become allowable to behave that way. And this is what really makes me mad, because people moving on a very bad example. This is not humanitarian. This is not Samaritans. This is not Christian. Even if that man is selling a Bible, I will question.
Hey Karina, and it's certainly not supposed to be American. Thank you very much for the call. Unfortunately, Tony says, unfortunately, the biggest enemy now is the other party. During the Cold War, we united against something. I think now we have to have no unifying thing to rally for or against. Brendan says, do you remember that Cuckoo's Nest was written about the law passed by Reagan when he was the California governor allowing the mental hospitals to perform lobotomies? You know, after it's said and done, again, whatever it is you feel about Joe Biden, and I've watched, you know, people talking about how he walks, you know, if you are fortunate and blessed enough to make it to the age of President Biden, and believe me, it's a blessing to be able to live to be in your 80s and move the way he moves, and make no mistake about it. The President of the United States is a man that is as busy as anyone in the world. Let's go to Bill from O'Connell Wall. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Say, I think America has to wake up and realize that the far-right Republicans are an enemy of the state. They do not like reality. They do not like our laws. They do not like our Constitution. and they do not like any of the armed forces unless those people fall in line with their agenda. Otherwise, they're against America. The good thing is what Republicans need to hear, there's a blog out now that many Republicans are going to vote for Biden without admitting to it because they just know it's the end of our country if Trump gets in. Thanks for giving me the airtime.
All right. As always, Bill, thank you very much for the call. You know, it's as simple as right and wrong, right? It's as simple as humane and inhumane. And you know, to wish death on somebody because you don't agree with them, or to wish death on somebody because you want your man to get in office. It shouldn't have to degenerate to that, but it has degenerated to that. And all I'm doing is saying we need to push back on that kind of rhetoric. And today I've started that on, you know, on this end. When you hear people calling for, you know, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, hey, he should die. He's going to die. He's not going to run. He's too old to run. Because death is staring him. He's a walking dead man. You know, just not acceptable. 844-967-2789 on the Earl Ingram Show. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, Calvin, the sports world lost just a great one the other day, and humanity in general lost a great one, none other than the great Jerry West. Calvin, you didn't get a chance to see him as an athlete. I don't know if you've ever saw any footage of him.
I probably have seen clips, but of course, obviously I know him as the logo for the NBA. So he's a huge figure in not only basketball, but sports and just American society.
Jerry West was as talented. You know, there's only a handful of guys who could play in any era of basketball. And Jerry West is one of them. You know, Jerry West played in the late 50s, early 60s. And I think his career probably stretched into the early 70s. But Jerry West was such a talented individual, great shooter. Great. They talk about Michael Jordan, you know, being a complete player. Jerry West was the first Michael Jordan. And his talent level was superior. His shooting ability, never will forget, you know, I can see him in my mind's eye pulling up with that soft jump shot. They didn't have a three-point line back in his day. But, man, he, you know, just as talented a basketball player that ever lived. But you heard me also say the humanistic side of the man. Soft. And you know, I didn't get to meet Jerry West ever. But I feel like I knew him. Because I remember his interviews as a player, as a coach, as the president of organizations, his ability to cultivate young people on the basketball court to be more than basketball players. Jerry West was a phenomenal, phenomenal man who lived a phenomenal, phenomenal life. And, you know, in the world of basketball, he'll be remembered forever. You know, in life, there's only a handful of people. All of us, well, think about all the people who live and die in the world. And only a handful will be forever remembered, right? You know, I'm not going to be one of them. You know, my family will remember me. And, you know, until a few generation passes. And then, you know, we'll be forgotten. But people like Jerry West, generations will come and go, and they'll still be talking about Jerry West. That's the impact that he had in the game of basketball, but with developing, you know, men and making them special people, because under his leadership, under his tutelage, you know, many of the players that played, you know, when he became the, you know, coach and then president of several teams, all great people. That's the measure of a man, whether or not they were able to do something great and bring something great out of people. Yeah, not that Jerry West made a whole lot of money, because clearly he had truckloads of money. You know, money was not his God. But Jerry West was a great, great man. And, you know, may his spirit and soul rest easy, because he did a great work while he was here. Let me see. L.A. Lakers, Brendan. L.A. Lakers, the classic underhand free throw. After his playing career ended, he put together championship teams in LA and San Francisco. You know, but he was more than that. And for those of us who watched him throughout our lives, you know, it's from young boys to grizzled old men, and watched him move. And he did what he loved. Can you imagine to be able to live your entire life doing what you loved? And he died doing what he loved. You know, he didn't retire. You know, he certainly could have retired long ago. I told you financially it was not an issue. But man, he got to leave here doing what he loved. And for that, I say, I salute him as a man who accomplished great things on the basketball court, but even greater things in building lives of young boys to young men. And I don't think there's any greater accomplishment than that. So rest easy. The great Hall of Fame career of Jerry West. 844-967-2789 is the number. Got a lot to talk about on the other side. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.